Is it time to up your social media game? Then you need to talk to Kate and Ave Communications, a social media agency located right here in Edmonton, specializing in all things social media, from quality storytelling, content creation, and strategic social media management. So stop doing social media off the side of your desk. Contact Kate and Ave at kateandave.com and give them a follow on Instagram at kateandavecomms, C-O-M-M-S, for great social media content, tips, and tricks.
Welcome to The Bit. This is Paulina.
This is Claire.
And this is Quinn.
And we're here to just do a quick little wellness check because we all know what just happened. That thing that happened. so we're checking in today on how the feels are doing. So obviously Edmonton has lost in the Stanley Cup final. They were eliminated game six. They lost it in six while playing in Florida. So I mean, I have some thoughts on how I'm feeling and maybe how I was feeling going into it. But why don't we start with you guys? How are you feeling about it?
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I'm in a weird place. I feel more sad than I did last year.
Interesting.
And yeah, I don't know why. Maybe just because it is just 2 years in a row. And I'm very worried. When is it the Oilers' time? This is the fourth year in a row that they have lost to the eventual Stanley Cup champion. They are always the bridesmaid
The bridesmaid and, vibes. Yeah. Good call.
I genuinely feel worried because I just don't know, like, how many times can you get back to the final?
Yeah.
And how long is Florida going to be there?
I mean, they're looking pretty good.
They're incredible. They are an elite. They are above everybody in the NHL right now. There's
got,
a reason
they've got
they
it
tomorrow.
All. Yeah. Yeah. They've got it all. So, I mean, maybe this is unusual, but I'm going to take the more optimistic role here today. Usually that's Quinn when we're talking hockey. But I'm feeling thankful and appreciative that we got to experience another Stanley Cup final. Yeah. Obviously it hurts and it's sad. But then I think about all the fun we had leading up to it and how it brings our city together. It's such a massive community builder for us, and to live in Edmonton is to know that being an Oilers fan is part of our identity. And you know, we could be in Calgary and a Flames fan who have that same kind of level of dedication to their club, but we get the Oilers, so that feels really good. There was so much fun, even just like at my son's school, they were doing parades on game days. Like, the hype was so real and it was so fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to reflect on it in that way. We didn't get to see Nickelback. I know we tried to manifest that as like a fan park concert. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to see Nickelback. So maybe next year. I guess the other thing I'll just add is there's a lot of like, oh, well, Connor's going to leave. Will Connor stay? Blah, blah, blah. But I think he's staying. Like, he wants to win a cup. And I don't know what other team other than Florida, and he's not going to Florida, can offer that in a way that we can. Like, I hear you, Quinn. How do we get back there again? But I don't think Connor's leaving.
I think we can get back there again.
I know they will. And you know what? I was, as you reflect on that, Claire, I was just watching one of the national Sportsnet shows, you know, and Colby Armstrong is talking about it with their, you know, national hosts. And I'm just like, I don't want you talking about the Oilers like you think you know what's going to happen. Because, like, it's like, you know, that conversation is like, oh, does Connor stay? Like, and how do they build a roster to get back there? And, like, they weren't as good this year. And we know that they weren't as good this year. That eventually showed up. We thought maybe their depth was a bit better, but I think maybe their depth wasn't better. It was streaky, and it was streaking at the right time. And then at the very wrong time, it got unhot.
I still think the two best teams were in the final. I just think that Florida is a level above. They're just, they've been built in a way that has made them unstoppable. I am not feeling as heartbroken this year as I did last year, because I think I went into game seven thinking like we're winning the cup tonight, and then to see that loss, it was heartbreak. And then this year it was like, okay, I felt the series was over after game five, so yeah. I had a few days to process, and I basically went into game six like, okay, well, you know, we're going down with the ship unless they pull off some kind of miracle, but right. we're going down, and it's fine, because I would not trade the run that we get for anything. Like mm-hmm. I would take us losing in the Stanley Cup final again next year if it means we get to do this all again, honestly. Like, it's mm-hmm. so fun for the fans. It's so great for the city. Like yeah. we are a hockey town. We've proven that. That's like so part of our identity. And I just think we're really lucky. And some people are happy to see the Oilers lose. Of course, there's always going to be that. I'm like, we're going to be back next year, and we're going to be annoying next year too. So,
yeah.
Sorry. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, Quinn, yeah. you touched on it, and like our GM has his work cut out for him. Like, we have this looming, terrible contract. I don't even know if you can call it looming, but the nurse contract that haunts us and will haunt us until 2030. You know, he's getting over $9 million a year. It makes it really hard to make some of the moves that we need to make. Oh, my God. But there's so many plays to be made. So it's kind of like today in one of my group chats, it was kind of like, who's going to stay? Who's going to go? And like, it was kind of fun talking about that. So maybe feeling energized around that and interested in how they're going to move the puzzle pieces in a way that works for the team. I'd love to see a few more bigger plays happen. I can't help. I know there's way more to it, and I don't want to get into the weeds of the details, but you can't deny what an amazing pickup Jones and Marchand were for Florida Panthers.
No, like, I mean, we would trade clearly geniuses. I
10
mean,
guys for those two.
I would love to have Marchand.
Why didn't we do that?
I would love to have Marchand on our team. Like,
so there's some of that happening, and trying not to think about, you know, the three or four softies from Skinner that went in. He played great, but you know, it's like those kinds of things that are like, why the goalie, we do that?
Probably need to do something about the goalie situation anyway.
I would love to see
Kane go, and I would love to see Nurse go.
Evander Nurse isn't going anywhere. Needs to go.
I mean, unfortunately, Nurse can't go anywhere.
No, it's not his fault. He signed that contract. We all would have signed it too.
Yeah, well, honestly, though, and you guys are underestimating. I say this all the time. You just like underestimate how much of a team guy he is.
Sure,
and...
I don't. It's just I don't want to pay him what we're paying him. But we can't deny we did have a Hyman shaped hole on our bench
for
in
sure.
The series, and I was really feeling that last night. Like, just no one in front of the net, I digress.
Yeah.
But.
Honestly, there's a lot of what could have happened if X, but I think Florida steamrolled us. They just did.
Here's my true analysis. The Florida Panthers said they were building towards game seven. They said it starting in game one. Paul Maurice was like, this series is going seven and we're building towards seven. And they were not lying. They got better and better, and the Oilers did not get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what credit happened. To Paul Maurice.
For the purposes of the pod, this hurts. But I think you guys remember on the trade deadline, I posted on the bits that the Oilers were left in the dust.
Yeah.
The Florida Panthers will repeat.
Yeah. You did. Yeah.
And as much as that hurt last night, I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, why the fuck did I have to be right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't think the Oilers would be in the final.
I thought about that. Well, you know what? And here's another thing. Here's another like silver lining. We went into this before the playoffs started saying like, this isn't our year. You know, let's not get too excited. And we made it to the final, which is incredible. But Quinn, you literally called it when after that trade deadline, you're like, oh, Florida's going for that repeat. Like, done and done.
Yeah,
and they did. Yeah. When they signed Marchand, I was like, well, great.
Yeah. Toast. Totally.
What I was going to say, goalie wise, though, I had a friend make the very good point that both Otter and Hellebuck did not have good playoffs. And those are like huge goalies. So I don't know. I mean, I think if all things were firing offensively and we could have figured some of that out, and we had Hyman and Ekholm was not still injured, seemingly, you know, could have been a different game. I think we potentially could have won this series with the pickles skinny combo.
Yeah, but I don't think it's all. I mean, I always make this argument. My brother and I were arguing about it in the chat, in several chats, in fact. My brother hates Stuart Skinner. Like Stu can do no right in his eyes, and like so we're obviously both biased in different. Slightly different directions. But like I don't think you can pin it all on the goaltending. I think we couldn't get anything going. It was always on our side of the ice. And like, yeah, I mean, sure, we had goals scored on us, but we also had no goals scored. Like we weren't scoring.
Oh yeah. The depth scoring just faded.
For
you
sure.
You know, I posted, remember you guys, I posted the Downtown Connor Brown Association on the Downtown Edmonton Downtown Business Association Instagram. And I was like, I don't know if we're ready to launch this yet, but I'm going to do it. Cause what if he doesn't score again? Well, he never scored again.
Yeah, I know. And it was like, it felt like all those guys, the depth scoring was just getting warmed up and then it faded, like you said. So, you know, what it is. We'll see. There's going to be a lot that happens between now and next year's playoffs. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I'm excited in that I think the gaps for, you know, us armchair specialists were obvious to us. And so they're for sure glaring to the team and the coaching and the administration. And so I'm excited to see what they would do with it. And I'm already looking forward to next year for that reason. But Quinn, I think on a more positive note, we had a fun discussion with a friend of yours.
So as part of our Pride Month content, I am very excited that we had a good friend of mine, Kevin Jesus, on.
Is he related to Mick Jesus? For clarification?
J-E-S-U-S.
Okay, no Mick. Got it.
Yeah. Our next Pride Month guest is a wonderful man that I met in college at Nate before we went on to chase our broadcast dreams. He was a passionate sports guy and got to live out his dream on television. His last full-time on-air job was at Global Saskatoon, which is where he also came out as gay. He made his way back to Edmonton to work as a producer at Global Edmonton, where he would eventually meet the love of his life, Graham, and get married in Ford Hall at Rogers Place. Please welcome Kevin, J-E-S-U-S, and yes, it is pronounced Jesus. Kevin Jesus joins the Bits.
Wow, what a great intro. I should hire you to do that anytime I walk into a room. This is awesome.
Yeah, just spell out your name, and yes, it's pronounced yes. Jesus. That is probably the number one question you get, is it not?
All the time. All the time.
What is something that I love to say when somebody has like a more ridiculous name or like a nickname, I like to say that it's their given Christian name, but it's funnier for you because Jesus, you know, like, yes, that is his given Christian
right,
name.
Exactly. Yeah. It's easy to remember. Christian it's easy boy. To remember. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we are blessed to have you here.
Oh,
Kevin Jesus.
I love that. Well done, Paulina. Well done.
Look, is this a drinking game Catholic, every I could time. Do this all day.
Yeah, every time we have one of those puns, drink, here we go.
What is it? Well, Paulina's pregnant, so I guess it's just you and I getting after it.
All right, fair.
I believe in you both. I believe in you both to
take
it.
I should be able to speak by the end of this. okay, guys, we're not going to Gene Principe this thing. We're not going to John Sexsmith this thing.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, you know, we're so grateful to have you, and we're really excited about the conversation we get to have with you today. I guess, you know, just kind of first things first, working in the sports industry, you know, tell us your journey of coming out.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where for the longest time, I didn't feel that it was even possible, right? Keep in mind, again, this was like, 2000, I mean, I really got into the industry 2003 to 2012 is when my bulk of my sports broadcasting career was. So it was also a different time. But I didn't think that the two could correlate together. You know, for the longest time, I didn't even, th I felt so like a lost soul in so many ways. And it wasn't until, you know, thankfully for the internet, and able to, you know, find a website like outsports.com and realizing, oh my goodness, like there are other people like me out there in the world. I'm not the only person, you know, that, you know, I'm just a dude who likes dude who like who plays sports, right? Like, and I wasn't the only one. So that was definitely you know, confidence building. But it took time, right? Everyone has their own journey, and I feel inspired by so many people now who are able to come out at such a younger age. For me, it was a bit more of a journey, a bit more of a process. But as time went on, it got a little bit easier, and I started towards the end of my time in Saskatoon, I started coming out more to my coworkers. I was a little bit out more in public. It just it felt right, and it felt good to not have to always hide.
Wow. Outsports.com. When did you come across that? And you know, how soon after did you know, completely come out?
Oh yeah, I mean, I came across outsports.com like, oh gosh, probably like right when I was starting my broadcasting career. Sid Ziegler and Jim Buzinski are the ones that run that website and have run it for a number of years, and it has been such a great resource sharing people's stories, not only like the big athletes, but like the grassroots athletes as well, and just sharing their stories and how everything has come along and talking about the issues. So again, it did take time for me to get to that point. I kind of came out in stages. You know, it started with like a family member in 2010, and then a couple of friends from there, and then it was it just kind of snowballed. And by yeah, by 2012, I was, you know, waving that rainbow flag and just being proud of who I was. So it was definitely a journey, but it was a good journey.
And you feel like that was mostly a positive experience in terms
A
of
hundred
how
percent.
people reacted, like athletes, coaches, and people in the field that you were working in?
Yeah, I mean, I it's funny. So one of my coming out processes, when I was at Global Saskatoon, there was a coworker who just casually dropped the F-bomb. And it kind of startled me a bit because I was starting that process of coming out, and I'm like, how do I handle this? Like, I don't know what to do. So I talked with my news director, Lisa Ford, who was my Sask mom. And I was just like, hey, how do I do this? And she was like, gloves off. She's like, I will go and deal. I was like, no, like, calm down. Like, I should be the one to do it. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just gonna write an email to this person. And I was like, listen, here's the deal. How you are, like, what you want to say, like, I don't care, but that's just really inappropriate, especially in the workplace, because you don't know how impactful your words are, and how dropping that casually, even though you may not mean it maliciously, that casual homophobia essentially is what it is, can really hurt someone and really force them back into the closet and make them unable to be themselves. And it was amazing because once I sent that email, that coworker came up to me and said, I had no idea the impact that that would have. And that really resonated with me. And that's always something that, again, I always say that it's learning experiences. You know, we don't need to like jump down people's throats and be like, that's wrong. Yeah, it is wrong, but let's learn from it. And this is why it's wrong. And this is why words matter, you know?
Good for you for reaching out to him directly and you know, approaching it the way you did. I think some people, it's totally it's an inappropriate word to say, just like generally, but like especially in the workplace, like you said. I think some people, there's this maybe old school mindset that you know, you throw it around and it's not meant maliciously, like you were saying. So it's sometimes just like, you know, bringing that point to awareness, right, for them. And so I'm glad that he also reacted the way he did, you know. I'm curious to, you know, as someone who is also gay and early in my career felt like I needed to keep that part sort of censored or, you know, dial it back in a way. I'm curious if you ever felt the need to do that as well. I think over time there's like this confidence that grows in it, and especially if you start somewhere new, you're like, this is who I am, and it's gotten easier over time. But I felt like I needed to censor that or like code switch a little bit. I don't know if you felt the same.
Yeah, 100%. Like when I as I started getting more and more comfortable coming out, I did still get to that point of, am I in a safe space? Am I in a space where I can be
Exactly.
comfortable with who I am and with the people around me? So yeah, a little bit of treading water, if you will. You kind of, I always say it's like a little kid going into a pool where they kind of tap their foot in the water. Is it cold? Is it not? And you're waiting to jump right in, and then eventually you make that big splash.
100%.
So eventually it's all about building that confidence. I'm now at the point in my life where I definitely don't hide it, and I'm just like, hey, it is what it is. Like, if you don't like it, that's your problem, not mine. And I wish that I had that attitude early on, because I feel like that would have also, made life a little bit easier. But I also acknowledge the fact that things have changed over time, right? So, and with that being said, I do want to make it very clear that I've had an incredibly positive story. I've had very positive reactions. The same can't be said for other people. I know people who their family have shunned them, or their friends have shunned them, and whatever. They've gone through some really difficult times. I'm fortunate that that hasn't happened to me, knock on wood. So I do want to recognize that this is just my story, and not everyone shares that same story. And to those that are still struggling, I'm sorry, but keep fighting and keep pushing forward, because especially when it comes to family, chosen family are just as important. And they're the people that are going to lift you up and be there through good, bad, and the ugly. So those are the people you want to surround yourself with.
And just, you know,
Absolutely.
looking at your face and hearing you say that and watch you say that, it's just like this is what is on the other side when you get to a place where you're happy and free, I guess. Because, you know, you had just like very, you know, beautiful look on your face there. So, what kind
Thank
of
you.
work, what kind of work did it take to get to a place where like you could be very free about who you were? Like, did it take a long time?
So again, different times, everyone has their own journeys. For me, it was difficult. I make no bones about it. I went to a pretty dark place, and I really struggled. And I was in a situation where, on air, when that red light goes on, hey, good afternoon, welcome to Global Sports, blah blah blah, everything's good. And then I'd go home and I'd be absolutely miserable, and I just, like, I hated life. And I would walk by the traffic bridge in Saskatoon. Was all lit up in pride colors, and I'd be like, you know what, if I were to ever jump, this would be the place. And it's funny, because that was how it was kind of going through my mind. But then I have a great group of friends and great support group, and we just kind of talked it out. Oddly enough, Devin Haru, who is such a prominent out sports figure here in Canada, over with the CBC, and now with the Grand Slam of Curling, him and I, we would go for daily, weekly walks in the River Valley in Saskatoon, where we basically were each other's supports, and we would kind of lift each other up and really help each other navigate this weird, wild world that we live in. But you just start to build that confidence, and you start to grow with it. And for me, the biggest thing was coming out to my mom, and coming out to, like, my aunt and uncle, my cousins, because they're all so close, my sister. And I just got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm confident and comfortable enough with my chosen family that if my actual family shuns me, it's going to be hard, but I've made peace with it. Let's just do it. And I picked a day. I drove down to Edmonton, and I was super nervous. And I came in, and I'm a writer, so, like, I wrote a letter and I read it to my mom, and I was, like, literally, like, in tears. And it was so funny, because as I'm, like, telling my mom this, her first reaction was, oh my gosh, did you get someone pregnant? Like, that was her reaction.
Oh
Like, is this what's going
no.
on? And I'm like, no, like, I'm gay. And
Quite
she,
opposite.
you
Yeah.
know, she looks at me, and she gave me the biggest hug, and she's just like, well, I still love you. And then she's just like, I'm so sorry you went through this by yourself, and you went through this alone. Now, when are you going to tell the rest of the family? And then she was like, we got to tell this, this. And I was like, whoa. slow down. This is my story to tell. And we went through the process. And I will share one other quick little thing. One that was interesting was coming out to my grandma in Portugal, right? You got to think, Portugal, pretty, religious country. And, this was, at the time, an 80-year-old woman, and it was very religious. And it's like, how is she going to take it? And my mom was really nervous and was just like, how are we going to tell grandma? And I was like, well, we're going to have to tell her because I'm not bringing Graham to Portugal as a friend. So we got to tell her. So either if you want to tell her, you can, or I can. So her and my uncle, they went to Portugal, and they were already going there, but as part of that trip, they told her. And her reaction, number one, it was kind of cool because they got to experience what coming out was like. But number two, my grandma's reaction was like, well, there's a lot of like gay couples like on the soap operas here, and they can get married here. So yeah, whatever, it's all good. Like that was it. It built it up and like that was it. And then she was just like, does and she doesn't know how to say Graham's name, but does he treat you well? And saying that's my mom, and mom's like, yeah, he of course he treats me well. And does he treat his own parents well? Yeah. Well, then that's all that matters. It's all good.
Oh, I love that. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. It's funny that you met like your grandma used like the soap operas as
100%.
kind of, yeah, when we told my I had to tell my very Polish Catholic babcia that I was getting married basically to a woman, and she was like, "Oh yeah, I don't. We didn't have gay people growing up, but they had them in England." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I've
Yeah.
been to England." She's like, "Oh yeah." And then she said, "Well, I know about Ellen."
Yeah, that's
About
amazing.
Ellen.
It's funny because like Ellen, with all her like problems now, was like a bridge
100%.
for grandparents and their gay grandchildren.
But honestly, Paulina, this is why it was so important to me at a certain point, once I was comfortable in who I was, to really start being out and open, because representation matters. Because
Yes.
it's for this exact reason, right? If someone at home is watching this and is like, yeah, like that sounds like me, or that could be me, well, then if you've just helped someone, then that's all that matters, right?
Exactly.
Representation is so important. And you see that with everything, whether it is, whether any kind of minority, right? It is so important to have that representation, and that's why it matters.
Well, and that leads into my next question. I mean, there's probably, very little doubt that there are many gay men that are elite and professional athletes. A lot of them probably have not come out. Why is it so hard for men in sports to come out? We do now have athletes in almost every sport professionally, like Luke Prokop, NHL hockey was one of the last. But it still is just it still seems to be quite stigmatized, I guess.
Yeah, and so I think I'm going to look at this twofold. So I'm going to start off with the positive. You look at a guy like Robbie Rogers, the first MLS player to come out. When he came out, ESPN did a big thing. They broadcast the game live. He's standing on the sidelines. He comes out, crowd goes nuts. But for him, the moment of true acceptance was when he walked into the locker room at some point. It was just a practice or something like that. And on the whiteboard, Landon Donovan, who is the team captain of the LA Galaxy, put on the board, players' night only, no wives, no girlfriends, no boyfriends, no significant others. And that little moment showed acceptance. And that was when he felt good, right? There are the positives. But in terms of why you maybe aren't seeing as many, I think it just comes down to, for some people, some athletes, they likely just want to be able to focus on what they're doing, and that's the actual sport part. They don't want to be the flag bearer, if you will. They don't want to be that person who has to deal with a gazillion media requests, a gazillion, issues, and then potentially having to deal with rifts in the locker room and all that. It's just one added layer that they don't want to worry about. But with that being said, you want to be able to come out because you want to be able to not have to be constantly worrying, okay, what am I going to say? Do I say that? Like, I went out with a guy. Like you have to choose your words carefully. And then that adds a whole other stress. I firmly believe there are a lot of out athletes out there in the locker rooms that are totally accepted, but it's not public because for that reason, where they just want to protect, the inside that locker room and just be like, hey, we're just here to protect ourselves. But I truly do believe that there are more that are out, and it's just like, hey, as a team, let's just protect this because we don't need to make this public right now,
I think that's a really good point. I can see why they wouldn't want to, only because like maybe they don't want to make that the whole identity, make that the whole thing. They just want to play the sport that they play, right? But at the same time, it like that representation matters so much. So, but I agree with you. I think that there are
It's
more than we know about for sure.
yeah, and it's hard, right? Because you look at what Jackie Robinson, and Jackie Robinson is the one example that everyone holds it up to, right? You saw what he went through. Obviously, he couldn't hide it, right? Like, but you saw what he went through. People were assholes to him, and whether it was the fans, whether it was opposing players, like it was so much. And that does hold people back a bit. But with that being said, I do think we're at a point in society where people are getting more and more comfortable with it. And with them, and when I say comfortable with it, I mean comfortable with themselves and having that confidence in the locker room. It may not be publicly, but they are there. And at least that's what I like to hope. And in my mind, in a perfect world, that's kind of what's happening. But yes, to your point, representation does matter. So I do wish that there were more. But it'll come, and I certainly would never want to force anyone to do something that they're not ready to do or is going to negatively impact them in one way or another. Everyone has their own journey. Everyone has to do things their own way, and I will say that until then, we'll just keep cheering on our Luke Prokops, our Carl Nassibs in the NFL, Tom Daley in swimming, like Robbie Rogers with the MLS. Like we'll cheer on those athletes, Quinn with the Canadian women's national team, like those are the people that we want to keep supporting. So
That is actually the first transgender athlete to win an Olympic medal,
100%, and Quinn is
which is really
fantastic.
cool.
And I think Quinn scored the first goal in the Northern Lights Soccer League as well. So there's another piece of history under their
Cool.
belt. So yeah.
Amazing. Love
Very
it.
cool.
So last week we talked to the co-founder of Pride Tape, Jeff McLean, who
Oh,
I'm
Jeff's
sure you're
awesome.
very familiar with.
Yes, he's great. Awesome guy.
As a fan, as somebody who has been involved in sports, are you seeing a growth in like inclusivity in for the LGBTQ plus community for, professional sports?
So, I think so. And you see the Pride Knights, and I always have like a love-hate relationships with the Pride Knights because sometimes I feel like it's just tokenism. But I remember the first time the Oilers held a Pride Night, and it was fantastic. It was so cool to just kind of see, the Pride colors out there and the recognition and the acknowledgement of it. But the one thing that I kind of, I don't want to say disappointed in, but I guess I'd say I was a little disappointed in was at the time they were still doing kiss cams and they never showed a gay couple. And I was just like, I get it, but it just would have been nice just to kind of see that just once and whatever. And then at the same time, it was 2 years ago, the Oilers invited my husband and I to be part of Pride Night. And they said, you're going to be on the big screen. We're going to mention that you guys were the first ones to get married here, blah, 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 all that stuff. And when we're driving to the arena, Graham goes to me, he's like, are we going to kiss? Like when they show us on the big screen, like, should we kiss? And, we kind of hemmed and hawed. And then suddenly I was just like, hold on a second. Would a straight couple have this conversation right now? Probably not. I'm like, so why are we having this conversation? I'm like, no, if we want to kiss, let's just kiss. It is what it is. Let's just acknowledge and it is, whatever. And I was a little worried. I'm not gonna lie. I was a little worried that, oh, like our fans gonna boo, like what's gonna happen? Fans cheered, everyone was happy. The guy sitting next to me was like, he was like a typical bro and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And once that segment happened, there's a little bit of silence. He looks over at me and he's like, so you guys were the first ones to get married here, right? And I'm like, yep. He's like, fist bump. He's like, that's pretty awesome. He's like, do you think you can convince my girlfriend to do the same? And I'm like,
Oh
yeah,
my
let's do it.
God. Incredible.
Right? So like
Yeah.
people were cool about it, right? And I think it's just one of those things where you're never going to have everyone on board because there's always going to be bigoted people. There's always going to be people who just they just don't understand. They live in this small little world and it is what it is to whatever. But the vast majority are totally they're understanding and they understand that love is love and who cares? As long as you're living your true, genuine, authentic life, what does it matter? You know, how I live my life has zero impact on you. So as long as we're all happy and just treating each other well, and then great. Let's get on with it. Go Oilers, you know? Like,
That makes me proud of our fan base too, and our
yes.
you know, because like you don't know. We live in Alberta.
Yep.
You don't know. I would be having the same thoughts, but like that's very cool. I like that. Speaking of your wedding, Ford Hall, can you tell us a little more about that? That's pretty iconic. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, longtime Oilers fan. I mean, it's such a big part of my, I mean, named after Kevin Lowe. I mean, it
Oh
starts
my
right from the
gosh. Oh,
very
I didn't know
beginning.
that actually.
I didn't know
Yeah. My dad and his
that.
buddy were kind of drinking one night, and they were just like, you know, the next Oiler that scores, if our wives have sons, that's who it's going to be named after. Kevin Lowe scored, and he didn't score very many goals. Kevin Lowe scores, and then sure enough, I'm born named Kevin, and then the other guy's son is born, and his name's Kevin too. So, I mean, like, it's so bizarre. But, yeah. Like, imagine, like, I always say, like, imagine if it was like Yari Curry, like Yari Jesus. I mean, like, I guess, like, you have double J.
I feel like they would have committed to it.
Right?
They would have been
I
like, "Damn,
feel
that's
like
who
it.
it
I
was."
feel like
Yeah.
it, right? But yeah, I mean, we were, you know, we share season tickets. You know, we go to so many games. Like, it was just always such a big part of our lives. And we're trying to think of, like, where can we get married? Like, how cool would it be if we could get married at Rogers Place or whatever? And a friend of mine works for the Oilers. So I was just like, is it even possible? And she's just like, I don't know. No one's ever asked that question. So we went through the chain to go talk to people, you know, the events people. And, you know, they're just like, yeah, it's possible. However, if there's an Oilers game, if there's a WHL game, if there's a concert, if there's an event, all of that trumps what you want. So essentially, you won't know until a month before the date if you have the location. Like, we won't confirm to you until a month before. So I'm like, okay. So we had our reception planned at what's now known as the Bison Lodge, at the time the Old Timers Cabin. And we picked that. Number one, we love the location, we love the decor and all that stuff. But by making the reservation there, we had it all day, so we knew if Rogers didn't come through, okay, then we'll just have our ceremony at the Bison Lodge. So we planned everything though. Like, our ring bearers had Oilers jerseys, you know, we had the orange pom-poms, like everything was very Oilers themed. So it was very much like, let's hope that this is going to work. And then a month, and we sent out our invites with everything was going to be at the Bison Lodge because we had no confirmation yet. And then a month before, we got the call that, yep, you can get married at Ford Hall. So immediately contacted all of our guests. By the way, change of plans. We're getting married at Ford Hall. So yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Wow.
That's, I mean, nerve-wracking. I'm so glad it
Yeah.
worked out. Imagine they're like a month out. They're like, actually, Creed is playing that night,
Well,
and
right,
you can't get
exactly.
married. Yeah.
So we actually kind of
Justin
planned
Timberlake.
it.
I'd actually be more mad about that.
Right? I will say, like, we really tried to plan it in such a way that we're like, okay, let's do September 7th because Oilers will just be starting like training camp, so there really shouldn't be anything. Oil Kings, if there's preseason, likely isn't at Rogers. So we really tried to play the law of percentages and it worked in our favor.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it will to this day be my big regret with you is not being close enough to get an invite. So,
But you know what? It got lost in the mail, Quinn. I think that's what
totally.
happened.
Yeah,
Totally is.
totally.
Yeah,
What year
yeah.
was that, by the way?
Yeah, it was it'll be 6 years in September.
Okay.
Oh,
Well, how
yeah.
about the 10-year
2019.
anniversary party
Yeah,
at Ford Hall?
exactly.
Yeah,
There we
Ford
go.
Hall. You'll
There we
get in
go.
there, Quinn.
Yeah.
I hope so. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. That
Yes.
was Kevin Jesus, a now full-time communications marketing guy, but long-time television broadcaster and producer. And just all-time good guy. Thank you again for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. This is a lot of fun. You guys are rock stars, so.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I
Well,
love
thank you
we,
for
yes.
joining us, though. We really do appreciate it. This was
Yeah,
great.
that was awesome.
Okay, so that was our interview with Kevin Jesus. So great to have him on. And thank you for listening to The Bit, and we will see you on another time.
See
See you on
you on
another
another
time.
time.